Well, good morning, Devin. So good to see you today. If you're new, either in person or online, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and I'm glad you decided to join us, because today we're going to discover that God wants to talk to you. And in fact, he has already been speaking to you. You just maybe never realized it. In 1966, Time magazine, plastered on the cover of their magazine, "Is God Dead?" The next day, reporters lined up at the front door of America's pastor, Dr. Billy Graham, and asked, "Is God dead, Mr. Graham?" To which he replied, "Are you kidding? I just spoke with him." When people say that they speak to and hear from God, many folks, that's something crazy. Maybe something mystical a little bit, right? And definitely something unusual or extraordinary that people, or God would actually speak to people, right? But the fact is, he does it all the time. Any of us can talk to God, and God wants to talk to you. The Bible says God created you in such a way so that you can actually hear his voice. He gave you the ability to tune in to him, to hear him, to speak to him, to actually know him. Now, it's nothing crazy, because all of us can do this. In what many scholars believe is the oldest manuscript in the Bible, the author named Job explained that God does speak, sometimes one way and sometimes another, even though people may not understand it. So Job identifies that the problem is not that God isn't speaking. The problem is with our reception. Those were antennas, by the way. Rabbit ears for those who are old enough. So the problem's our reception. Sometimes we are just not tuned in. God wants to communicate with you because he wants a relationship with you. And you can't have a relationship without communication. Now, just to be clear, we're only going to look at a few of the most obvious ways that God speaks to people. Being God, he's not limited in any way, right? He can speak to us however he wants. You know, the Bible one time references one time when God spoke through a bush that was on fire but didn't burn up, right? Another time he wrote on the wall with his finger. You don't want that to happen. That was not a good situation. And of course, he came in person to communicate with us, to communicate his love for us by living and dying and rising again as Jesus, the Savior. So you see, God's not limited in how he communicates to us. As Job says, God does speak. And today we're going to discover the four most common ways that God speaks to people. The first is that God speaks through the Bible. This is the number one way God speaks to us. It's the most obvious, the most common way that God has chosen to speak to people. In a letter written by a young pastor named Timothy, the early church leader Paul explained this. He said, "Everything in the scriptures is God's word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people and for correcting them and showing them how to live." Now, notice Paul here says that God has communicated to us through his holy scriptures, the Bible, which Paul identifies as God's word. The Bible is not just a nice collection of wonderful thoughts or some good ideas by some good people from the past, okay? It's God's word to us. The Greek word used here is literally means God breathed. He personally inspired the writers what to say. That means that the Bible is absolutely reliable in its original documents, right? There's no other book in the world like this book. It can be counted on. It can guide you. It will correct you. It'll comfort you. It'll help you, and it'll definitely speak to you. But if you never, ever get into it, God can't speak to you through it. Of course, there have been some English translations and copies over the years that have errors, so you want to stick to those that accurately represent what was written in those original documents. If you're unsure, you can always pretty much trust all the Bibles that are listed in BibleGateway.com or on the YouVersion Bible app. Those are, so far, I've been going through them all, and they look pretty good. Even if you can read the original Greek, it's there for you too. You know, if someone says, God never talks to me, that tells me first thing that they're probably not reading their Bible. This book is the most common way that God has chosen to speak to us. Are you reading it every day? Is he speaking to you through it every day? If you're not, it's going to be going through the day like having your cell phone off. Cell phone's not turned on. You're wondering why nobody's calling you. You're not getting any texts. You're not getting nothing. But in fact, they are. They just can't get through to you. So just like you need to turn on your cell phone, you need to open up the Bible. I can't tell you how many times I've been dealing with an issue and I was going through my daily reading and boom, the answer comes straight off the page at me, right? Or I read something and it's like, oh, suddenly it's this bright spotlight on this thing in my life that I need to change. It's like, oh, God pointed that out, correcting me, get this right in your life. This is an error, right? Folks, God has something. He has something he wants to tell you. But if you don't open your Bible, you're not going to get the message. I admit that this can be an intimidating book. In the first place, how many books do you know are bound in leather, right? I've met some unchurched people, they don't even want to touch the Bible. They think they'll be struck by lightning or something. And you open it up and you go, what are all these numbers, right? How many books do you have at home that have numbers in front of every verse? Not a lot. It's kind of strange, right? Then if you use an older translation, there's those these and thous, right? And words you don't understand. There's strange names of places, of people, you know, Zerubbabel. How many Zerubbabels do you know? There's weird names, right? Foreign concepts, foreign customs that don't make sense to us here in North America. The Bible can be intimidating. But this book is the manual for the human race. It's the manual for life. It's the owner's guide. You know, when we got our car a couple years ago, I found in the glove compartment this book. It was an owner's manual. In it outlined the designer's original intent for the car, right? When to change the oil, what size tires you need, and how much air to put on those tires. These new all-wheel drives, you know you got to put more air in the front tires than the back? That's just weird to me. But you need that in order for everything, the weight to be distributed correctly for the all-wheel drive to work. You're welcome. I know you were asked, people were going, now you know. If I read that owner's manual, I follow what it says, my car is going to last a whole lot longer than if I ignore what the designer said I needed to do to keep it healthy, keep it running, and keep it strong. Keep it out of undue stress. That's what the Bible does for you and me. The reason many of you are under stress, are feeling weak, is because you're not reading the manual. You're not following what your designer says you should be doing. So you're stressed out about work. You're fearful about what's happening in the world today. You're not taking proper care of yourselves, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I'm preaching to myself here. And your health suffers. And you're not running as strongly as you could be. When something's not right, consult the manual. Because God speaks through his word. If you don't have a Bible and you're wondering where you can get one, I'd love to give you one after the service to help you get started. If you already have one and you're wondering, okay, I've had this thing laying around, what do I do with it? Where do I start? Do I start at Genesis? Right at the beginning? Like what? I wouldn't recommend going through some of those right off the bat until you get a little bit of this into you. But if you're going to get started, I'd be happy to give you a few guidelines. I always suggest that people brand new to the Bible get to know its author first and foremost. In the eyewitness account of Jesus' life and ministry by his closest friend and follower named John. Your Bible might call it the Gospel of John. Gospel just means good news. Okay? Good news of John about Jesus is what it is. You'll discover who Jesus really is and what he did for you. Then read the next book, which is the history of what Jesus' followers did after he went back to heaven. It's called the Acts of the Apostles, or the Book of Acts for short. Together, these give a great picture of who Jesus is and how the church got started, how his first followers responded to his call on their life. After that, you can just keep on reading to the end of the book, okay? Before you go back to the Old Testament, old ancient documents at the beginning there, to get an idea of who this God is and how we are meant to live for him. Okay? It's also so important for us, each of us, to get involved in studying the Bible as well with a group of people because we grow better together. This is where you can learn why certain events happened. Why God did certain things throughout history, and why he spoke certain things, like the Ten Commandments. What was that about, right? These groups help you connect to God with other people that also want to grow in their relationship with him, just like you do. You need to get into God's word because that's the number one way he has chosen to speak to us. Let me give you another way. God has chosen to speak to us through his people. Have you ever sat in church in a service and felt like God was speaking directly to you? He was. At that very moment, God was speaking through a person, preaching or teaching to you about God and his ways. God had used that person to tell you exactly what he wanted to say. God often uses people to share his heart and his word with us. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. There's another one of those weird places. Anybody been there? No? I thought maybe one or two of you might. It's usually part of the Israel tour if you go on an Israel tour. Thessalonica. He wrote, "When we preached to you, you didn't think of the words as being just our own, but you accepted it as the very word of God. Which, of course, it was. And it changed your lives." God speaks through teachers, through preachers, through pastors, through evangelists, through prophets. And it can change our lives if we listen to them. Many years ago, I was sitting in the service. Ken Bombay, gifted evangelist, was preaching. If you're an old-time Pentecostal, you know that name, Ken Bombay. I don't even remember what Ken was preaching about. But when he came to the end of the message, he said something like this. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to make it count, or are you just going to waste it? Are you going to walk God's path or your own path? You'll never know, he said, real fulfillment unless you do what God made you to do. Bam-o. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I was going to Bible college just to be able to go back to university. To make my mom happy, I went to Bible college. Don't tell her I told you that. But in that service, he hit me and said, do you want to go back and do what you were wanting to do, or do you want to do what I want you to do? And so I went up. I didn't know it was a salvation altar call, but I went up. And my Bible college friends are all going, he wasn't saved this whole time? What's going on here? Anyways, God got my attention, right? I had to respond in some way. And because it was a turning point in my life. It was a huge turning point. That one simple message, God spoke to me through a gifted teacher. If you'd told me 35 years ago I'd be pastoring a church, I'd tell you you're absolutely nuts. There's no way. I was pursuing a very different career path. I had no intention. And often I'll look back and go, wow. What if I'd missed that service? What if I missed that turning point in my life? Now, I know that's God's intention. He's going to bring along other things to guide me in the right direction, right? But that's why I don't like missing church. Even if I'm talking, God speaks to me. And even when, especially when I'm listening to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that he speaks to me. The Bible says God has given his church gifted people to communicate his word. I've had many people tell me, you know, after that message today, I feel like you've been reading my mail. Folks, I don't even know where your mailbox is. Really, I'm not that smart to come up here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, and know exactly what you need to hear each week. I can't do it. God can, and he does. He knows who's going to be here each week, and he knows what your needs are. And so he impresses on my mind certain maybe ideas and truths as I study, and God speaks to me so I can speak to you. And sometimes there's times when I say something, they say, you know, I got this out of your messages, like God was speaking to me. I'm like, I don't remember saying that. But okay, God is speaking to you. That's what's important. And whether you realize it or not, God also speaks through you. How many times, if you could go back over your life, maybe whatever friend came for some counsel, or you're just talking, and it, something you said became a turning point for them. You didn't even think twice about it. It's just something that came to you. It wasn't you. That was God using you. I remember when I first started following Jesus, I told a friend what I'd done, and one of the first questions he asked me was something like, it's one thing I've always wanted to know is why does God allow Satan to destroy lives? Why does he let him do that? Ruin people and all the bad things, right? And it's like God just dropped this thought in my heart about his justice. He has to be just with Satan just as he has to be just with us. And he said, like, wow, that makes total sense. Where did that come from? I'm like, I have no idea. I'm brand new to all this stuff. I have no idea. It just made sense to me. But that's because it came from the Spirit. If you're a Christian, God often speaks through you and you don't even know it. It's not some big supernatural thing. It's because when you ask Jesus into your life, guess what? He came into it. Listen to what Paul told the church in Corinth. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. When God's teachers teach, they're actually saying things that God wants them to say to you. The more teaching you hear, the more God will speak to you through those messages, right? That's why once a week is not enough, folks. You need a regular input of godly people into your lives. The more you do, the more you'll learn, the more you'll grow in your understanding and your relationship with God, who He is. You know, I love listening to some preachers on the radio. Some I don't like, but some I like. I love Chuck Swindoll. I love him. I love David Jeremiah, some of them. I love learning from gifted teachers, both on the radio and in our video studies that we do. There are some really good ones. My recommendation is, though, they're not all good, so make sure you always test what they say, okay? Always take it to the Bible and see if what they're saying lines up, because there are some different ideas out there sometimes. I'm going to explain more about that in a few weeks, so make sure you come back, keep coming back, okay? And you'll get how to be able to identify those things a bit better. I can't cover it all today. Anyways, second one was God speaks through other people, right? Through the people, godly people. Next, God speaks through impressions. God speaks through impressions. In the book of Acts, again, Paul is quoted as saying this: "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." In your outline, circle that word or write that word out: compelled. Compelled. Now, the original word actually has to do with sheep herding. Of course, we Albertans maybe can relate to cattle a little bit better, right? So let me give you the picture. When cowboys are trying to move their herd of cattle, they don't beat and force them animals to go in a certain direction, right? They just ride alongside on the outside of the herd, cutting off each possible option of travel but one, the lead. It's like they have this invisible force field that gently impresses upon the herd the desired direction they want them to go. That's like what the Holy Spirit does, how He speaks to us through impressions. He gives us an idea. He gives us maybe some hunches. He gives us that gut feeling, and He puts ideas in our mind. And God puts that idea there. That's called an inspired thought, right? It's inspiration. Anybody been inspired before? Anybody have a creative thought even? Where do you think that came from? It comes from God, right? God is the creator. When you are being creative, you are being like God. He created you in His image. The Bible says we're made in the image of God, right? It's the creator of heaven and earth, of the universe, and He created us with the ability to be creative. God puts an idea in your mind. He's speaking to you through an impression. Some of your most brilliant ideas, sorry, they weren't yours. They were God's. God gave you, illuminated an idea, that brilliant business idea, perhaps, a brilliant family idea, maybe a brilliant relational idea, a brilliant financial idea. Brilliant ideas come from the Father of lights, come from God, who loves you and cares about you, who's infinitely interested in the minute details of your life. The word brilliant means shining, full of light. It's God who shines the light on those creative ideas for you. Edison's light bulb, Newton's gravity, Pasteur's penicillin, every brilliant discovery is simply because God shined a little light on something for somebody to understand. Feeling that your mic's not working? I mean, have you ever had that feeling? I need to tread carefully here. Something's not feeling right. You ever had that? Something's not quite right here. Yeah. Where do you think that comes from? Your instincts? Your intuition? I'd be in a lot of trouble if I trusted on those things a lot of times. It's an impression by the Holy Spirit. It is. Maybe you felt that urgent call. I need to call so-and-so. I don't know why. I just feel like I need to call them right now. And you call them and find out, man, they're in the middle of something, and they so needed to hear from you, right? Or you woke up in the middle of the night with that heavy feeling, and you just had to pray for somebody or about something. The Spirit speaks to us through impressions. Unfortunately, there can be a lot of confusion about impressions, whether they're from God or not, right? Anybody been there? Was it that pizza or what? As I said, we're going to spend some more time on this in a few weeks. We're going to look at inspiration and impressions from God, how to test them, how to evaluate them, figure them out, whether they're really from God or not, or that bad burrito, or from the devil, or from our own human selfish desires. In my experience, there are two extremes. You need to avoid when dealing with impressions. One is the rationalist. The other is the mystic. The rationalist denies that God ever speaks to your heart and mind. The mystic thinks that every impression comes from God. Right? I feel sorry for both extremes. The rationalist who thinks that God never gives them ideas or impressions misses out on God's counsel, God's comfort, his care, concern, challenges and guidance in their lives. He misses it. On the other hand, the mystic who thinks that every impression they get is from God tends to make a lot of stupid mistakes. They do. They embarrass themselves. They say, God told me to do this, and then they go bankrupt. Or they lose their job, or they lose their family. What happened? It wasn't God. Both extremes are wrong, right? We need to be open to impressions, but always test them. Never make a decision on an impression alone. You need to test that impression. Give it time to percolate. It always has to be in line with what God has already told us in his word. Okay? You ever get an impression that's opposite to what God has said in the Bible? I guarantee it's not from God. Guarantee it. God will never contradict himself. He's not going to give you an impression that's contrary to what he's already said in his Bible. I've had, fortunately not a lot, but some people, that God had told them the exact day when the world is going to end. You've heard them too. They must have got around. They were honestly sincere. You would not believe how sincere they were, but they were honestly wrong. They were sincerely wrong. I've had people tell me that God told them it was okay for them to live with their boyfriend or girlfriend. Are you kidding? Over and over in the Bible, God has said, for your own protection, for the protection of the other person, for your benefit, sex is for marriage alone. It's to protect you. Really clear, about 90% of people's problems in this area, the emotional scars, the diseases, the broken hearts, wouldn't be there if people would just listen to God, obey what he's already told them in his word. Whenever we say, I know the Bible says this, but he's telling me such and such, you're on a slippery road. You're heading down a slippery slope. If you think you hear God saying something, you're not sure maybe what the Bible says about it, ask. Go back to that godly person that we just talked about. Does the Bible say anything about this? Because this is what I'm feeling I'm supposed to do. Right? Okay. So last thing, quickly. Last way we're going to look at how God speaks is through our circumstances. How many of you are acquainted with this way? We typically don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat, don't we? Yep. None of us like to change. We fear the unknown, and so we don't change until the pain becomes greater than the fear of the unknown. God is so interested in having a personal relationship with you, loving you, and you loving him, being able to communicate together. He will even sometimes allow painful circumstances in your life to help get your attention. Wise King Solomon of Israel once said, "Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways." Yeah, I'm pretty sure all of us know this one. I've learned that God often speaks to me in that still small voice. If I don't pay attention to it, or I'm too busy, maybe that I just don't hear it, don't focus on it, I get that gentle nudge. I just told somebody this the other night. If I ignore that gentle nudge, in my life, my experience anyway, there's a 2x4 waiting for me. I want to just tell you, I have never gotten past the 2x4 because my fear is that there's a Mack truck waiting next, okay? God can and does use painful circumstances to get our attention. Not all pain is God speaking to you. Not every hurt, every ache, every pain that you have is God's discipline. But some are. And God often has to use pain in order to slow us down to get our attention. You know, it's been, boy, about 20 years ago now. Probably I really hurt my back bad. I tore some muscles off my spine and had some discs that went out herniated. I was flat on my back for 6 weeks. I had to crawl to the bathroom and then lay on top of the toilet because I couldn't move. It was so excruciating. Why did that happen to me? I don't know. But I do know at that time I was so busy running around doing stuff that maybe God thought I needed some time off. Flat on my back with nothing to do but look at him. It was another turning point in my life. God ever had to do that to you? There are some lessons we only learn through painful circumstances, right? The famous shepherd king of Israel understood this when he wrote, "I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees." What you said in the Bible, basically, saying. God has a lot of different ways of getting our attention. And I think that pain is God's megaphone when all else fails. God whispers to us, maybe in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pain, doesn't he? When you're hurting, God's saying, "Hey, there's somebody here who can help. Hello. You can depend on me. I'll get you out of this. I'll get you through this. It's tough. But with me, just let me in." Pain is God's way often of getting your attention when you have no time for him. God wants to speak to you because he wants a close relationship with you. He wants to be your closest and your bestest friend. And when you get to that place where you're hearing and you're listening to him, it will change your life. We're going to look at that next week. But maybe, and you never really realized how much God loves you and how much effort he puts into trying to get your attention. He loves you so much he came and died in your place to make a way for you to be with him forever. He created you to have a relationship with you. You to have a relationship with him, pardon me. But humanity walked away from that. We're the ones who walked away from him. That's why Jesus had to come to restore our relationship. When we believe in him and let him lead our lives, we listen to what he says. He saves us from death and gives us a new life, a life with purpose in him. If you'd like to do this today, I'm going to help you, leading you a short prayer to God and declaring your desire to follow him from now on. We could all bow our heads together again. If this describes you, just pray along silently with me and God will hear you. And he'll receive you as his child forever. Just pray, dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way, not really giving you much thought in my life, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Make me right with you. I believe that Jesus came to earth to show me the only way to God, to communicate with me your love by dying to pay for my sin. So right now, I ask him to be the Lord of my life. God, I want to hear your voice. You can guide me to be who you created me to be and to do what you want me to do. Thank you for hearing me and accepting me as your child. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Amen. I'm going to call the musicians back. If you did give your life to Jesus, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, could you let me know after the service? And if you need a Bible, I already said I could get you one as well. Also, if you want, you could just fill in one of those Connect cards in the back of the seat or online. It should be linked to the video or on our church app. And fill that out. And I've got some literature I'd love to share with you and just connect with you, see if there's anything else that we can help you with. All right?